Hey, Dog Speak Geeks, do you know that we offer virtual lessons? You can sign up at any time through info@dogspeak101.com. Also, don't miss out on our dog communication seminar on demand or one of our live seminars in Middle Tennessee. We would love to assist you with any and all problems that you have, so give us a call, set up your session today. Hey, hey, Dog Speak Geeks. I hope you're having a wonderful year so far. I mean, we're only like 6 days in, but hey, it is what it is.
I made it all day in meetings without anyone saying, I haven't seen you since last year, and you just ruined it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, my bad. Y'all know who that is. For the new listeners that not heard this beautiful voice in over 6 months, tell everyone who you are.
Hey, it's me, Britt.
And who the hell are you?
Oh, does everyone not know that?
Well, not if we have listeners, no. New listeners don't know who you are.
I am Nikki's wife.
Yes.
I live in this home with all these zoo animals.
Yes. But she's also been the co-host of the podcast for quite some time. But she got really busy and things. And now I've got her back for a special episode.
Where we get to talk about your dog.
Yes, and adolescence.
Being a psychopants.
Yes. And I thought, well, it's good to have another view of what she's going through, because I know what she's going through. I can understand what she's going through. Granted, there are a few things I did not expect, because I haven't had an intact female at this age in a very long time. And I didn't pay attention to the one I had back in the day. So, yeah, this is going to be interesting to see your view on it, as well as kind of my thoughts with it. Before we get started, though, if you guys have not signed up for our live Q&A, that's this Thursday, January the 8th at 6:30 Central Standard Time, you better go sign up. It's $20. $20, you get to put in a question. I'm going to answer your question, and then you're going to have a follow-up question. And it's going to be a live event on Zoom. And if you can't make it, no worries. Send in your question. I'll still answer it, and I'll send you the recording. So get on, because questions are limited, because we're only doing it for 90 minutes. So if you have questions, be sure you sign up. You can go to the Dog Speak Geek link in the show notes and find the course. It's Decoding Your Decoding Your Dog live Q&A for this Thursday. That's what I got. That's all the, I think, announcements I have right now. So, Willow is 14 months old. Willow is my Rottweiler, so any new listeners, my Rottie pup. We've had her for over a year. Got her last December. She was my Christmas present to myself. And she is intact. She's gone through one heat, but she is 14 months old. And is that right? 14? No. She's actually, well, going on 15 months old. So, well, 14 months. But she is a great dog. Let's be real. She's sweet. She's funny. She's everything a Rottweiler should be. Okay, more like a Rottenweiler. But she's definitely going through a new little stage here with this moment of adolescence. How would you like to express that?
I think I already expressed it. She's a psychopants. And yeah.
Tell people why you think she's a psychopant.
I mean, she's a big goofball. She's lovable. She's a great dog. I mean, she's got a great temperament. I think Rotties get a terrible rap for, you know, breed-specific legislation and aggression and viciousness, all those things. And that's not typical of the breed. You know, I've been around Rottweilers for most of my life, not as a guardian, but, you know, my brother had one big, sweet baby, Kenya. Obviously, when I met you, you had Dayan, and then, you know, now we have Willow. So those are all kind of your breed typical goofballs, love bugs. However, we are, like you said, we're going through adolescence, and adolescence with an intact dog, not just that she's intact, but also the breed as well. I mean, there, she doesn't know how big she is.
Not a clue.
She doesn't realize she's over 75 pounds.
Not a clue.
Personal space is a negative.
Not a clue.
The amount of time she's launched off of us, I have bruises.
Now, I don't think she's really been launching. I think that she's definitely increased her jumping behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even something that we rewarded much of. I didn't necessarily spend too much time on it. But yes, she's definitely... And for me, it's this jumping of... It's a standing up, right?
Yeah.
Because she likes to stand and like...
Well, she wants to be involved in everything. Everything. She's nosy. She's so nosy.
She is nosy. She's very nosy.
And I think the reason that you and I got on this conversation was... The other night, she was just getting on my nerves, and I needed a break from her. And you were like, it's just the adolescence. It's just the adolescence. And I was like, yeah, but this is why dogs get sent back. This is why dogs get sent to board and train. This is because people need a break. I understand what's going on. I understand it's adolescence. I recognize that I'm at an advantage because I do know more about dog behavior than most pet owners might know. But it's still tough.
It is hard.
It is tough to go through it. And then when you've got the hormones from being intact and you're like, okay, well, you can see why people spay early. I mean, because it's a lot. It really is a lot. So I think we should go through some ideas or some ways that people can kind of navigate this, because what we want to avoid is obviously the board and trains, the aversive training, the, you know, if you can, spaying too early, especially for Rotties with the genetic issues that they're predisposed to. Those kinds of things, you want to do what's best for the dog. But it's hard when you're like, oh, well, there's an easy fix. I say, quote unquote, easy fix.
Which it's not an easy fix. It's just suppressing behavior, most board and trains, right?
Correct. And if you're new to the show, you know that we are adamantly against, you know, any type of aversive training. But as a pet guardian, you can kind of see why people resort to it when they're just tired and annoyed and fed up and you're going through adolescence.
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that people need to understand is that you are not going to fully train your dog by 14 months. Your dog is not going to learn all its life skills by 14 months old unless it's a tiny breed. Then the brain has finished developing at a year.
Right.
Larger the brain, the longer it takes to fully develop. Humans, it's 25. Male humans, it's 55. Not because their brain's bigger.
If that.
But with dogs, the larger the brain, the longer it takes for it to develop. So we're looking at 18 to 24 months for her to be fully as an adult. And there's no way she can learn her entire life skills in that first year. And I think so many people think that time they hit a year with their dog, the dog should be the adult that it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the case. And I think when they see this behavior that happens at, you know, 13, 14, 15, 16 months, they think there's something wrong with the dog. And that's when they want to send the dog off.
Well, especially because, you know, you were talking about jumping. I think you start to see some regression.
Yes.
Or what people would call regression with obedience or manners. Just they become a little aloof. They act like they've never walked on a leash before. Suddenly they, you know, they don't know their name. They've never heard the come command. All these things, it's kind of like you start getting the middle finger from them.
Absolutely.
Too, because they don't have, and it's not that they're doing that intentionally to be a jerk. It's just they cannot focus.
No.
And it's just, you know, imagine a child with ADHD or too much caffeine and chocolate and that sort of thing. It's that's where we're at right now.
I think that for people that don't have children, I think this is a harder phase to go through. I think that when people have had children that have grown up, I think they can get a little bit better understanding mm-hmm. that our dogs, they're going to go through the same phase. So like you and I raised our niece from about age, what, 13, 14?
Yeah, 12.
I mean, and it was
off and on until it was a 17.
Rough, yeah, it was a rough time for adolescence. And there was a time that I was like, I just don't like her. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't like her. I don't think she likes me. I don't like her right now. This is rough.
Yeah.
And I was so scared of some of the choices that she was making that it was going to ruin her life. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, neither one of us have birthed any children. We only raised our niece. But I was afraid that she was going to make all these bad decisions. And now she just graduated with the highest honors from college. She's going into to get her master's in anthropology. And the decisions she makes now are so much more mature, even though she still has things to learn. She's only 22. Mm-hmm. Her brain is still developing. So I think if we think it like that, then we realize that our dogs have to go through these things as well. They're going to make some stupid decisions. Our job is to make sure that we help not let those bad decisions cause any harm against them or anyone else, but also that we are guiding them during those decisions and helping them to learn better behavior with that. And I think if we start out with our expectations being correct, like I'm not going to expect my dog at 14 months to be perfect in the middle of a downtown fiasco. Mm-hmm. I'm just not, because I know that her brain is still trying to absorb the energy that's out there, the information that's out there. She's trying to figure out where it belongs in the brain, because there are so many things that there's not even a pathway made in the brain for her to deal with, because it's not a part of her kind of world. It's just, it's a really insane time for these dogs in this world that we're living in. And I think we put too much expectation on them. We expect them to be so perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to happen. We can only support and help guide our dogs. And with Willow, yes, I'm starting to see some times where she didn't want to do as long belly rubs as we were doing in the mornings. She didn't want to cuddle as much. It was constant play. It was constant activity. It was constant. And I was getting frustrated with her. I get mm-hmm. tired. I mean, I'm a human being. I get tired. But it made me realize, well, it helps me to also understand what other people are going through, mm-hmm. right? So if you're having that adolescent, look, the pros and cons of not spaying early, there are way too many pros. Yes, the behavior's rough, but it's easy to get through. You will get through it, I promise you. And I'm going to help you get through it by the things we'll talk about. But it is so important to keep them intact as long as possible to help with that development, to help with the bones, the joints, the muscles, and making sure that they have what they need to be the best version. Because if we start taking parts away from them and then expecting them to be as good as they could be, they're not going to. It's like saying, well, I'm just going to take the belt off this car, but I'm going to expect the car to still run perfectly. It's not going to happen. You got to have all the parts in order for things to run perfectly. And you're right, she has definitely gotten to where she's become a little bit more annoying to the cats, annoying to the other dogs, annoying to us, because it's just constant. It's like this teenager who, when she sleeps well, but she doesn't want to go to sleep. Yeah. She's got things to do. She doesn't want to miss the world, right? It's like being on the phone with her friends all night.
Yeah.
And not doing her homework. And it's a typical kind of stage we've all gone through. Every listener, if you're over the age of 25, you've gone through this. You've gone through this. And so we have to have a little bit more empathy to realize that she's going through some rough times right now. And my job is to set her up for success. and to ensure that she has what she needs to be as successful as possible. Yes, there have been times she has not minded as well. Like, literally, like, there was not even a light. There was no flame going in that brain of hers. And that's when you have to adjust your expectations. And I think that's something I said to you. I'm like, we just have to adjust our expectations right now. But also, where we've been allowing her to kind of do the things that she wants to do and to figure things out and to have agency, I'm finding that I'm having to do a little bit more direction for her. Yeah. Because she's struggling making decisions.
Yeah.
Who doesn't struggle making decisions sometimes?
There's some executive functioning issues there for sure.
Yes, absolutely. But that's, again, it's part of the developmental phase. What are you thinking? You got something?
No, I'm just...
I know. Yeah. But look, but there are positives. She still is able... we do off-leash walks. We went to the woods. She listened wonderfully. She and I went yesterday and went walking in the woods, and she was perfect. I posted a video of her seeing ducks, and her emotions came out about the ducks.
Yeah.
And that big butt of hers.
Yeah.
It was so cute. But I used our Mr. Rogers hack, and I talked through her with it, and she was able to then watch the ducks and understand that they don't need to be barked at, which is just part of it. You know, and the other day we had a dog loose in the neighborhood, and she was out playing with it, and the dog went to the road, went across the road, and Willow started to follow. It took a couple of times, but she came back.
Yeah.
Right? She didn't turn on a dime, but hey, she didn't go all the way to the road, and she came back.
Yeah.
So there are those positives of the training that we've done. It's still there. It just may not be as precise or as on point right now. Mm-hmm. How I deal with it, though, is going to make the difference. If I had punished it, man, what's that telling her right now with all these months of this positivity, and then all of a sudden I become a different human to her? That's not healthy at all. What's one of the things that you can think about that you can see is a real struggle in this phase? And then I'll give
her inability to rest without being direct, like being specifically put into her crate to go rest. She is not allowing herself to take a nap.
Yeah, she's really got
FOMO
big time,
hardcore.
But it's only when she's out. Right?
Right.
So, yeah. Like, we do the spa room. We still have the spa room. She still goes in there to eat. She still goes in there when I leave. She still sleeps in her crate at night. But, yeah, when we're out watching TV and hanging out, all of us are hanging out, which we've done a lot of, she is just go, go, go. Like, to see her laying over there napping is rare.
Yeah.
Very rare. So, the couple of things that we can do. One, a lot of times I will just put her back in the crate because I'm just tired myself. So, I'll put her back in there for spa time, similar to what we did as a puppy. And sometimes you have to revert back to saying, okay, you're struggling. So, now I'm gonna force you to have that nap time because right now your body is using a lot of energy trying to develop the hormones that are flowing, the testosterone that's flowing, the estrogen that's flowing, all of these chemicals. It's taking a lot out of her. Mm-hmm. And I think she's getting to the point where you're so tired, you can't rest.
Yeah,
I think
she's
that's
just restless.
Yeah, I think that's one of the problems. So putting her up and saying, look, let me make this decision for you. But what we have been doing is I've been directing her over to the lounger to lay down. I'll usually give her a few times. And then I just put her in the crate. But there are other things that we can do, such as having her kind of lay on a bed in the living room and giving her, like, her stuffed topple or a bone to chew on that's special. The thing with her, and I know this with her, which is why I've not done it, but people, you could do this with yours at home, is that when she has a bone or something that's high value, she takes herself to the crate to chew on it or lick on it because that's where she's comfortable.
Yeah.
So that's why I just go ahead and put her in the crate for those moments. And she sleeps well. I mean, she rests really, really well. But I would say that if you're having that problem where your dog is 14 months old and is bouncing off the walls, obviously if you're not feeding a good food, we're always going to go back to that nutrition, make sure you're not feeding a bunch of sugar. But to, sometimes you have to just make that decision to say, I know that you're 14, 15 months old, but you obviously need a nap in the crate. Do not think your dog is going to make the decision to nap for their own good. Not at this stage.
No.
And I know many people want to get rid of the crate by age one. Don't. Not, especially if your dog enjoys it. Yeah. She goes there knowing that's her safe place. She knows she's not going to be bothered if she's chewing on something. And that is a very smart, mature move. And so make sure that you're kind of, you know, using that crate. You can use a spa room without a crate as long as your dog understands what that means. If your dog doesn't understand, you go put them in the bedroom. They're just going to be crazy in your bedroom out of sight, which means they're going to probably cause some destruction.
Yeah.
So supervise during that. And if they can't rest, you need to put them away and force that. Because that's really important. And they may need more naps right now because of being intact and having all those emotions and that energy being drained.
Well, even if they're not intact, just adolescence in general.
Yeah, definitely.
With the brain developing.
Definitely. So don't give up on those crates. Use it to your advantage. But again, spa time, she understands what it means. Mm-hmm. She runs to her crate when we ask her to. She jumps in. She's ready. She knows what the sound machine is. She knows the fan. And she understands it. It's no stress to her.
Yeah.
And then she's in there probably snoring right now.
Yeah.
All right. So that's one. What are some of the other things that you've seen that have not caused you concern, but just more of like, what the hell?
Well, she's become more destructive. So with items in the house that aren't hers, she started grabbing and destroying some things. But for some reason, it's only things that are in my room.
It really is fascinating. It is only things in your room.
Uh-huh.
So she was not bad as a puppy.
No.
Why? Because we did supervise a lot.
No. And yeah. And she was abnormally good with chewing.
Yes.
We had very few things that she... Actually, I can't even name something that like she destroyed in the house that she wasn't supposed to have.
I can't either.
We were very diligent on that.
And I think having like the cardboard boxes out mm-hmm. in the recycle that she could grab and tear apart anytime she wanted helped. But yeah, I noticed that as she has gotten older, she's gotten a little bit more grabby with items and tearing things up. Yeah. She has, and it has only been your room. She's grabbed magazines off your table, which is paper, and I can kind of see that. But again, it's in a location that she's never been allowed to grab anything from. She's grabbed some clothes off of the, I'm not going to call it a dresser, it's the bench. Mm-hmm. She's grabbed some clothes off there.
Books.
Some books she's chewed on.
Baskets.
Oh, yeah. She's loving the baskets, taking things and doing that. What'd she tear up the other day? I was like, son of a bitch. Hell, I don't remember. It was probably day before last. The other day, I was on back-to-back Zooms, and I let her stay out, and I can't remember what she tore up. But it was something. I was like, well, that's my fault.
Oh, it was a basket.
Was it the basket?
It's that little bowl.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so, and that was my fault. And it's, again, it's because in my mind, just like everybody else's, she should be fine. She's lived here for this long, right? Over a year. She understands the rules. Understanding the rules and following is two different things. Mm-hmm. And for her, it's her just trying to kind of figure out more about her environment, getting a little bit more mouthy, getting that adult, needing that desire to chew and do those things. What we have to make sure we do is supervise more, make sure she's not having that freedom, and not even necessarily keeping everything put away, but it is good because we're humans and we tend to get distracted. But supervision, going back to supervise as if she was a puppy, right? If we're in the living room and she goes into your room and she's in there too long, we're calling her out because we know that she's just getting really interested in new things. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want her to be interested in her environment. If I take away her interest in the environment in the home, then I'm taking away her interest of the environment outside. Right, or going to new places. I don't ever want her to be afraid to make choices. Choices are going to be wrong. It's how I handle it. If I want to set her up for success, I'm going to make sure she is supervised or put away And if she's supervised, then I can help redirect that. So one of the things that I've been doing is if she goes in there and she has something, I take it, tell her it's not hers, tell her it's off limits. I put it back where it is, and I call her out of the room, give her something she can have. And it's going back to acting like she's a puppy, but we never had to do that as a puppy.
Yeah.
That's the thing is people don't understand is dogs aren't going to grow out of chewing on things. They're not going to grow out of the desire to put things in their mouth. We have to teach them. They don't understand that your soft sock that, you know, you got for Christmas is not a toy. Why? Because the material is exactly like some of her toys. Mm-hmm. I can't blame her for that. But what we have to teach is that there are areas that are off limits. If it's up on a table, it's off limits. If it's on a bed, it's off limits. If it's, you know, on a bench, it's off limits. Helping her to understand that. Because what she's doing is natural. And I don't want her to be afraid to make those decisions. It's just my job to make sure that she is set up to make the right decisions in the right area. Don't go to punishment on this. This is where people go, well, you're 14 months, you know better. Now I'm going to punish you. Now we're going to get a shock collar. Now we're going to use a prong collar. Now I'm going to spank your tail because, you know, you should know better. I mean, if we really thought that 14 and 15-year-olds knew better, right? I mean, mm-hmm. That's silly to say that we would think a 14 and 15-year-old could make adult decisions.
Yeah.
But yet we expect our dogs to do it. In a world that is not meant for them, that is not built for them, that is not set up for them. And we are taking more and more of their agency away when we need to be putting it back.
Yeah.
So these are the moments that we have to know it's a phase, but we still have to work on it. Because if we don't work on it, then the phase becomes a normal thing. Thing's not really the word I was going for, but it's what came out. So I do want you guys to realize your dogs need to be taught. And when they get things wrong, don't punish them for it. Don't make them feel bad. Ask yourself, what could have I done different? How can I help my dog be successful? And what do I want them to do instead? And set them up for that. We're supposed to be the greater species. We're supposed to be smarter. Slow down and find that empathy. And look at the dog and understand that she's going through a lot that she can't express. And be that support system. And, you know, I have to say, I was shocked the first time I saw something torn up that was not hers, that she wasn't allowed to tear up. I was shocked. I've been doing this for 30 years.
I love how you just weren't even going to tell me that she did it.
Oh, I was. I think I just forgot. I mean, because you would have known anyway. I probably just forgot. It's just something that it happens. That is just part of it. And I was not happy about it, but I didn't punish her for it. It was more of my going, shit, that was bad. Let's go to your crate. Let me figure out what we're doing here. Let me clean up all this mess. And then we'll start some, I say new steps, but it was really, we're going to have to go back to some things when you were mm-hmm. a little bit of an older puppy. Because mm-hmm. really, if we look at adolescence, it is just being an older puppy.
Yeah.
She's still a puppy. Just an older puppy, but not an adult. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's really sorry about that.
What do you say to people when they realize maybe some of the manners are regressing? What do you do in that case?
For me, I don't want to drill, drill, drill. This is not the time you want to say, all right, now we're going to just do obedience for an hour a day. We're just going to run through obedience. That is not what you want to do. If you want your dog to be like, I don't really want to ever be around you right now, then go do that. Mm-hmm. Right now, pick and choose what's priority. Right. Focus on those things that you really need in your daily life, whether that's come when called, whether that is go lay down and get on a bed, whether that's a stay, whatever that looks like. If your dog needs to to still walk every day and need to be a good walker. And I'm not saying doing it because you want to, but because it's a part of what the dog needs for that daily life, then focus on that. Don't try to focus on 100 different commands. And if you ask your dog to do something and they don't respond, don't immediately think they're being disobedient. Okay, that's the first thing. Ask yourself, do they understand what I'm asking? Am I asking like I normally would ask? Is this a different environment that I've never asked this behavior of before? What can I do to set my dog up for success? Do not force your dog into it. And I'm thinking like these sits, right? People love to ask their dog to sit. And when they don't sit, they either yank up on the leash or they push the butt on the floor, they spank the butt. That is not needed. We don't need that. What life-saving thing's going to happen if your dog sits? Right? I mean, I know people are like, well, if he sits, he's not running across the road. Sit's not going to do it. What you need is a calm, right? If your dog's running towards the road, your calm is going to be better than trying to do a sit. But I'm getting off topic on that. Don't be forcing these behaviors. Up your ante, up your rewards, right? Many times when we get to this age, we think dogs don't need rewards. And that's like saying that at 50 years old, I don't like rewards. That's stupid. I didn't suddenly turn 50 and be like, you know what? I'm just going to work for free. No one ever has to pay me again because I don't need it.
Yeah.
I just enjoy it. I do enjoy it. But bitches, I got plans. I got things I want to do. I deserve to be paid for what I do. My dog deserves to be paid for the requests that I ask of them. But also at the same time, they deserve to have some of that positivity and earn those fun rewards. And have the excitement of earning the fun rewards and the possibility of earning rewards. So up your reward system, up your rewards of food, toys, and don't get more strict. Just lower your expectations, set them up for success, and just be sure you go back to rewarding those behaviors that you've not rewarded for a while. I mean, most people reward sit like crazy, and the dog turns 6 months, and they stop rewarding sit. And then the dog doesn't sit at 9 months. And so make sure you are using your rewards. Don't be stingy, right? It's not about bribery. It's not about having to use food, but use it to your advantage. Why do we want to make things harder when we can use something that the dog needs every day anyway, which is food? It's silly to do that. So lower your expectations, increase your reward system, maybe even change your reward system, and only focus on those behaviors that are truly part of the life in that time, in that moment in time. And don't be forcing a bunch of other stuff. And also keep your dog's world a little bit smaller during the adolescent phase so that they're not having to cope with as much information. So don't recommend going out to a really busy place and try to work on training.
Yeah.
All right. Just kind of focus more of a quiet and making it not easy, but making it to where your dog is successful and we keep that confidence up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was a good question. Because there have been times that she's, you know, I ask her to sit and she's just like never heard the word.
Yeah.
Never. But I'm not even sure if she even heard me.
That's
very, I mean, truly, true. Like you see this moment where she's just like looking and she's like, I don't know. And you can almost see the confusion in her face. She wants to stay tuned in with me, but she's struggling with that.
Yeah.
As that inconsistency grows with her, my job is to stay consistent and to make sure she knows what she can expect from me so I can make this process a little bit easier on her and easier on you. But also easier on me. I miss my little cuddle bug sometimes. I also get very aggravated when she launched off of me the other day. She was laying on me and she launched off of me using one of her paws and it literally felt like I got punched in the gut.
Yeah.
I was not happy about that. Was it her fault? Yes. She did it. However, she didn't mean to. So how do I deal with that? I just don't let her lay on me right now unless it's really quiet and she's relaxed. Otherwise, you're not laying across me. Not if there's activity happening, the cats are walking and you're eyeing them. No, you're not laying with me.
Yeah.
You can lay next to me, but you're not going to lay on me. So that's where I have to adjust my expectation, knowing that this isn't long term.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing she'll get back to cuddling. I mean, yesterday she was cuddling very, very cute. Even out in the woods when I was sitting, she'd come up and like put her head up against my neck and like push her chest into my chest.
Mm-hmm.
Like she couldn't get close enough to me.
Yeah.
It was really sweet. It was those sweet moments. But she was also crazy yesterday, running in the woods and but listened very well. Listen very well. So there's that one. Any others?
No, that's this is good. That that's all I got. That's all I got. Those are the, that's what we're going through.
That's all we're going through?
That's what we're going through, yeah.
She, you know, for me, my concern is just a few things that I have to make sure that I don't screw up. One is her temperament.
Mm-hmm.
She is... out of all my Rotties, she is probably the sweetest Rottie I've had. She is lovable. She's kind. She's so good with the small dogs.
Yeah.
She's so good with kids. Even though she's a little nervous around them, she still does a really good job with the kids. She does get excited with people. And we are working on that excitement where she is jumping up with guests that are coming over. So my job is to make sure that she's set up for success with that, whether it's place stay, whether I put her on a leash, attach her to me, use a scatter to keep her four on the floor. There are techniques I can use. If I'm lazy and I don't do anything, then she's just going to jump all over somebody. And that's not going to be fun for the person, but it's also not going to be good for her because I'm letting her do a behavior that is not going to be acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, especially my clients, I catch you guys letting your dog jump all over someone and then punishing your dog for jumping over them. It's like you let them make a decision, but yet you know in your mind there's a 99% chance they're going to make the wrong decision.
Mm-hmm.
So be the smarter person, be the smarter brain. Make sure that you are setting your dog up for success. Don't let them have access to the person. Put a baby gate up. Give your dog a chew bone while someone comes in. Tether them over on a bed if they don't know how to stay. Right? Put them in their spa room until the guests come in and settle down and then let them out. We have to learn to set our dogs up for success across all stages of their life, but especially during adolescence. Because when we believe that at this age they're supposed to be fully trained, that's when we want to do punishment. And this is where the BS lies come from that I see all the time from these training companies and these trainers who are like, come to our 3-week board and train. We guarantee your dog will be trained in full in 3 weeks. Yep, that was silence of my face just looking dumb.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say about that.
I mean, I know. But humans, dog owners start to believe it. Oh, well, my dog can be trained in 3 weeks. Why would I spend 6 months working with you? Well, because your dog is going to have their behavior suppressed, and that's the only way you can guarantee that stuff in 3 weeks is to suppress the bad behavior and coerce the dog into the good behavior.
Well, having worked in one of those facilities at some point in my life, I can guarantee you firsthand that they don't work.
No, they don't.
They do not work.
Nope.
It's money wasted.
Very much so. Not to mention the stress it's putting on your dog.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's an incredible amount of stress. And it's not good.
It's not healthy.
Mm-mm.
Your dog's being put into a place that they're not familiar with, around other dogs that are barking, away from their secure attachment, away from their safety net, away from their patterns and predictability that they've counted on to ensure safety. And then not to mention that the few times that they're out of the crate during the day, they're being shocked or jerked around on a slip lead, prong collar, choke chain, you name it. Mm-hmm. And it's not appropriate. You cannot train a dog in 3 weeks. I can't fully train my Roddy when she's only 14 months old. You cannot fully train something when the brain is not fully developed.
Yeah.
Period. Period, boo.
It's true.
So if you are dealing with an adolescent, hang in there. It's going to be more work on you. But hey, you signed up for it when you got the dog. You signed up for it when you brought that dog into your home to help that dog through every stage of its life. And if you're really interested in kind of what's happening in the brain during adolescence, find our past episode with Dr. Kathy, and make sure that you, because I was going to say her last name, but her last name changed since she got married. But you can find it in our playlist, or you can find it on the website. But just look up adolescence, you'll find it. But it is important that we understand that what's going on in the brain is what's going to be driving what's happening externally. Mm-hmm. But also what's happening in the gut is going to tell you what's happening in the brain, which is going to happen to tell you what's happening externally. So all these things are linked together. So first, good nutrition. Two, understand that the dog cannot help everything it's doing. Three, be responsible and set your dog up for success. And understand that they're not choosing to be an asshole. They're not. They're just struggling and they need your support.
Yep.
Any final words? Love your dog.
Yeah, I'll try to be more patient.
It's hard. I know it's tiring. It's exhausting, especially when you've had adults for so long. And then you have this puppy come up and you expect everything to be smooth.
Yeah.
Right, puppies disrupt things, but it's all worth it. And she is a phenomenal dog. She really is a good girl. And at you know, 14 months, I can take her out in the front yard off leash, and she's fine. Yesterday, the neighbor was out, and she went to see him, and then she was like, "I didn't get permission." And then she came back. I didn't say anything. She came back. She's like, "Actually, I'm just ready to go in the house."
Yeah.
So she's able to. That's those times she's making that decision. I want her to be able to make those decisions, so I don't have to direct everything. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going to help her be an amazing adult dog, who may or may not get spayed. And now the thought of putting her under to spay is makes me a little nervous. Isn't that ridiculous?
It is.
I just love her so much. I love her. I am so glad that you came up. Can we tell the listeners if you might come back for another one?
I might. We'll see.
All right. I appreciate it. I know people miss you. I appreciate you guys. I hope that your year is going well. And if you've not signed up for our newsletter, please do so. Check out our YouTube page. We have some great videos on there. I'm starting to add more and more videos. If you want to see Willow with her day with the ducks, definitely go check that out. It's really cute, her little butt. It's so cute. She's so precious. And just remember, if you have an adolescent, you may have to do a little bit more direction. You may have to kind of remind them that things aren't appropriate, but do it in a positive way. Guide your dog, help support them, and keep it positive. It doesn't mean that you have to be like, "Oh yeah, you're jumping, isn't that cute?" No. You don't have to do that, but set them up so you don't have to make a decision, should I praise or punish? Just set them up for success, and they will learn. It's all on you. Take responsibility. All right, I appreciate it, guys. Love you, and I hope you have a wonderful rest of the week. Say bye, Britt.
Bye, Britt.